Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Those of you who come on Sunday nights know that we've been studying the book of Mark on Sunday night, and because of that, I have tried to avoid preaching from it on Sunday morning, but I don't always get to pick. This week I was thinking about the 4th of July, and I wanted to try to preach some sort of a sermon about freedom and things like that. And I began to think about Barabbas and his the best story, the best account that I could find about Barabbas was in the book of Mark. So I went ahead and I tried to find something else to preach on. And, you know, I found all those scriptures where it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I just couldn't make anything work, and I kept coming back to Barabbas, and I kept resisting Barabbas, and so we're going to talk about Barabbas this morning. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 7. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made the insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Nothing that I'm going to tell you this morning about Barabbas is going to be news to you. It's not shocking. It's all obvious when you read his story. But the first thing that I want us to notice about Barabbas simply was that he was caught. Verse 7 says, there was one named Barabbas which lay bound. That phrase, lay bound, means that he was in chains. Barabbas was in chains, in prison. The Roman authorities had been searching for Barabbas, I don't know for how long, but he was a notorious, the Bible tells us, a notorious criminal. And somehow they had found him, they had captured him, and they had imprisoned him. Barabbas was caught. We have all committed sin. You know, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned. And because we have all sinned, we have a tendency to think individually that we're going to get away with it. We're going to be the only one. Everybody else, you know, oh, I know people get caught, but not me. I'm not going to get caught. I don't know why we think that, but we do. Even as Christians, sometimes even as Christians, when we commit sin, and Christians commit sin, we think we're going to get away with it. That's why we try to hide our sins, because we think we can get away with it. You remember David tried to hide his sin of adultery and then conspiracy to commit murder, adultery with Bathsheba, and the murder of Uriah. He tried to hide it and thought, I think he thought he had it done, but he got caught. In Joshua chapter 7, you remember there was a guy by the name of Achan. The children of Israel had gone to Jericho and had overthrown the city of Jericho, and God had told them to destroy everything in there, not to take anything except for some things for the temple. Well, Achan went in there and he took some gold and silver and some clothes. And then he took it back to his tent. And the Bible says that he hid it in the sand. He dug a hole and hid it in his tent. He thought he was going to get away with it. He hid it. He covered it up. And he thought, man, I got it. I got gold and silver and I got that fancy clothes and nobody knows and it's hidden. The evidence is covered up. But he got caught. You remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they conspired to lie to the Holy Spirit. Only two people in the world knew what they were going to do, Ananias and Sapphira. They thought they could get away with it, right? They're sitting around the kitchen table the night before they do it and say, honey, now nobody else knows this. Don't tell anybody. Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody. We'll take this secret to our grave and we'll get away with it. They both got caught. the next day. Both of them got caught. Sin will not stay hidden from others. I think we need to remember that as Christians especially. Sin will not stay hidden even from other people. And sin is never hidden from God. Luke chapter 8 verse 17 says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Numbers 32:23 says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We've all sinned, and we're all caught. The next thing I want us to notice about Barabbas is that he was convicted. I don't know how long Barabbas had been in prison. I don't know when they arrested him and brought him to prison, but sometime between that moment and the moment we're talking about in Scripture today, there was a trial. And at the trial, evidence was submitted and Barabbas was convicted. He was found guilty. And I know that because of the way the Bible refers to Barabbas. Again, look at verse 7. Says, "There was one named Barabbas which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him." He was convicted. He was an insurrectionist who had committed murder in the insurrection. So Barabbas had also been convicted of murder. John chapter 18, verse 40 says, "Then cried they all again, saying, No, not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. So Barabbas had been tried and convicted and found guilty. He was an insurrectionist. Today, we would call him a terrorist. He rebelled against the Roman government. In those rebellions, sometime he had committed theft and he had committed at least one murder. He was caught and he was convicted. He was guilty. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." We have all been caught and we have all been convicted. We are all guilty of sin. Kind of a depressing sermon, isn't it? It's going to get worse. He was caught and he was convicted and he was condemned. Barabbas was in prison awaiting his sentence. He had been sentenced to death by crucifixion. I don't know what would compare to that today. You know, today in those states that have the death penalty, it's what we call humane, or as humane as we can make it. You know, they, in most states now, I think they give you a shot and you go to sleep, and in your sleep, your heart stops beating and you die. In ancient world, and particularly among the Romans, those notorious criminals were sentenced to death, but they were sentenced to the most excruciating and painful death possible, and that was death by crucifixion. And Barabbas had been convicted and condemned to death by crucifixion. There was no hope for Barabbas. He was in a Roman prison, chained in a Roman cell, and if they ever brought him out of the cell, they just didn't send one guy to get Barabbas, or any other prisoner for that matter. There might be four or five, there might be a dozen Roman soldiers who would come, and they remained chained while they were out of their prison cell, and they remained chained while they were in their prison cell. So there was no escape, there was no hope. The Roman government had no intention of granting Barabbas a pardon. The Jewish people, the truth is probably, certainly the Jewish government, the Jewish leaders, and probably the Jewish common Jewish person on the street, they didn't care anything about Barabbas. They didn't like Barabbas. Now, I know Barabbas thought he was helping them by rebelling against the Roman government, but he wasn't doing them any favors. As a matter of fact, because of the rebellion, because of the insurrection, the Roman authorities came down even more harshly on the Jewish people. So they, listen, some of them may have turned him in. They didn't care about Barabbas. I know they cried out for his release, but that was only because the Jewish authorities had worked him up, had incited him up. They didn't care. Barabbas was just a tool. He was a tool to get to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I want you to know something this morning. Satan does not care about you. Now, listen, I know he may tell you that he loves you. He may promise you the sky. He may promise you the world. But Satan cares nothing about you, and he certainly does not love you. I want you to listen to what the Bible has to say about Satan. John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, "He, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He couldn't speak the truth if his life depended on it. So when he tells you he loves you, he's lying to you. He doesn't love you. You are a tool to Satan. You are a tool to cause difficulty and problems and sorrow to God. Because God does love you. And Satan knows if he can get you to rebel against God, it will cause God pain. And he wants to cause God pain. Satan cares nothing for you other than what he can get you to do to cause difficulty and suffering and pain for God, for God's people, for the world in general, even for yourself. Like Barabbas, our sin has condemned us. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." I told you it was going to get worse. Since the very first sin of man in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, mankind, all mankind, has been born with a sinful nature. All mankind has committed sin, and all mankind is condemned to death because of our sin. Physical death and eternal death in hell. And there's no escape. I went back through and I read through my notes of this sermon two or three times, and I thought, what a depressing message. There's no hope. There's no escape. There's no way out. But there is some good news. We have been caught. We have been convicted. We are condemned. But Jesus does love us, and he comes to us in our sin and offers us hope. The Bible is full of stories. You can't read, especially the New Testament, you can't read the New Testament without hearing stories of people who were caught and convicted and condemned, and then Jesus came to them and offered them grace and mercy. You remember the woman who was taken in the act of adultery. The Bible says that she was caught in the very act of adultery. And the Jewish authorities brought her to Jesus and they said, "Listen, this woman was caught in the act, and according to our law, she should be stoned to death for her adultery." And that was true. That's what the law required. It also required that the man be stoned. Somehow he was absent. They brought her to Jesus and they wanted to know what Jesus thought about it. Jesus showed her grace. Jesus showed her mercy. Jesus rescued her from her accusers, her condemners, and Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." You remember a man by the name of Saul. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. Saul was zealous. He even described himself as the chiefest of sinners later in his life. And said he was zealous, and he went and he tried to kill every Christian he could find, and he looked for them. And he tried to stamp out Christianity. He did everything within his power to kill Christians and to stop Christianity. As a matter of fact, he was on his road on the way to Damascus when Jesus came to Saul. And he showed him grace, and he showed him mercy, and he forgave his sin. And he gave him a new life, and he gave him a new purpose, he even gave him a new name. There is hope. We have been caught, and we have been convicted, and we have been condemned, but Jesus does love us. And I could go through the Bible, and I could make a long list of people, and Barabbas would be on that list. And that brings me to the last point, and that is that Barabbas was shown compassion. I've wondered a lot about Barabbas at different times in my ministry. I've preached on him at least once before and And this week in particular, I wondered a lot about Barabbas as he sat in that Roman cell. I'm sure it was nothing like the cells that we have today. I'm sure it was. Barbaric. The conditions, I'm sure, were barbaric. Iron doors, probably dirt floors. No running water, no restroom facilities. They probably threw the food literally through the iron doors or the iron bars on the door. Chained, hands and feet, chained all the time. Probably chained to something in the wall or in the floor. He was in there with other guys. The Bible says that he was in there with those others who had done insurrection with him. And he was condemned, and he knew he was going to be crucified, and he was awaiting his execution. According to history, according to archaeological history, the place where Barabbas was incarcerated and the place where Pilate held his meeting with the Jewish authorities were close enough that Barabbas probably could hear, at least could hear the crowd shouting out. He probably couldn't hear Pilate, and maybe he couldn't hear the Jewish authorities when they spoke to Pilate, but he could hear the crowd shouting. And so he's sitting there in that Roman cell awaiting his execution, and all of a sudden he hears a crowd yelling his name, Barabbas! And there's a pause. And something happens. He doesn't know what happens, but there's more conversation. He can't make it out, but he knows it's there. And then the crowd cries out, Crucify him! Don't you think Barabbas probably thought, man, they're crying out for my crucifixion now. Isn't it enough that I've been caught and convicted and condemned? Aren't they happy enough that I'm already going to die? Do they have to hurry up the process? And then I think he must have heard the sound of the Roman soldiers' feet as they came to the cell. I don't know if it was a hallway. I don't know if it was a marble floor, if it was dirt. I don't know what it was, but there were probably several of them, probably maybe a dozen, and they made noise when they walked. Their armor made noise. Their swords made noise. The coat of mail that they had made noise. Their feet made noise on the floor as they marched in formation to his cell door. And don't you think, probably, I think Barabbas thought, this is it. He heard the key as it went into the lock of the door, and he heard it turn, and he thought, oh, they've come to crucify me. They've come to crucify me. I know he was a criminal, a murderer, a thief, a terrorist. I know he was... He probably made it seem like he was a bad, bad man and not afraid of anything or anybody. But listen, when the moment of death comes, I don't care who you are, if you're unprepared to meet God, there must be fear. And the iron door swung open, and the Roman guards marched into the room, and they said, Barabbas, you're free to go. Jesus has taken your cross. He probably could hardly believe it. He didn't even know Jesus. He might have heard about him, might have known who he was, but he didn't know Jesus. He had just heard the crowd crying out his name and then saying, crucify him. And then here comes the, maybe he thought it was a trick. I don't know what he thought, but I know what he did. He left. When pardon was granted, he received the pardon and he got out of there. I think he got out of there as fast as he could. I think he probably ran until he was clear of the cell and clear of the Roman soldiers and clear of the Roman praetorium. I think he ran until he thought he was safe. He was about to be crucified. And Jesus showed him compassion. Oh, I know you say, oh, now, Pastor, that's not right. It was the Jewish people who cried out for Barabbas' release. It was Pilate who released him. May I remind you that it was God who was in control of all of the events of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus intentionally took Barabbas' cross. He intentionally took Barabbas' place. And Barabbas represents you and me and every human being who's ever existed on the face of the earth. Jesus intentionally came and took our sin and paid our price to offer us pardon so that we might go free. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And please, just for a couple of minutes, be as quiet and as still as you can. Share a come and play a song. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you know it. You may tell people you are. You may try to hide your sin from others. But in your heart, in your mind, you know you're not right with God. You're not a Christian.